changed from snow and ice. It's wonderful to gather together. Am I not on? Am I on? I'm switched on here. I'll try and project my voice while we try and sort out the problem at the back. Most of the intonations are on the back of the service. You'll see that our mainly music group starts up on Tuesday. Planet Earth Club starts up on Monday. It's all go. And I have a few intonations that are accidentally not on the order of service just because I've been too busy. This evening at 7 o'clock in Auchen Gray Church, they have a guest speaker called David Hill, who will be speaking about Try Praying. This is a movement that's been going for a few years, trying to encourage people to just give it a try. Try praying. So that should be very interesting. This Tuesday the 5th of February, in the school here, they're having their Burns Supper. And it's at 4:30 on Tuesday afternoon, and the tickets are £3 each. I'm getting confirmation from the front row here, being kept right. And the school would be delighted if members of the community would like to go along. There'll be refreshments, there'll be music. It should be a really good time at the school. Looking a wee bit further ahead, a week on Wednesday, so that's Wednesday the 13th, we'll be holding our next Taizé service here in church at 7 o'clock. So that's a week on Wednesday, we'll have another Taizé service. Posters are just going up today. And although she's busy with wires and all sorts of connections at the back, we can't let today go past without mentioning that in about 3 days' time, Heather will be celebrating her 18th birthday. Can we sing happy birthday? Can we sing happy birthday?
So it doesn't interfere. So lots of things going on. Just a quick recap in case anybody couldn't hear. Tonight, 7 o'clock, Auchen Gray, Try Praying. Tuesday, 4:30 in the school, Burn Supper. Next Wednesday, the 13th, 7 o'clock in the church, Taizé. And happy birthday to Heather, who's 18 on Wednesday, is it? Wednesday. 18, that's amazing, isn't it? She'll be a really big girl, won't she? So we are here to worship God, and our theme for today is the power of love. God is love, and we can only love one another because God first loved us. And his love, that powerful love, drives out all fear. So as we come to worship, let's do our responsive reading, and it's verses from Psalm 71. In you, Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. Your righteousness rescue me and deliver me. Turn your ear to me and save me. Be my rock of refuge to which I can always go. Give the command to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, my God. For you have been my hope, sovereign Lord, my confidence since my youth. From my birth I have relied on you. You brought me forth from my mother's womb. I will ever praise you. Amen. And don't think that I've lost the plot with the next hymn, but it's such a beautiful hymn, and I don't think it should be restricted to Christmas, because love came down all the year round, as well as at Christmas. Hymn 316, Love Came Down at Christmas. Goodness, we've got a lot of youngsters this morning. That's fantastic. But it makes my life more difficult, because there's a verse in the Bible that says that God has our names engraved on his hands. And we're going to sing a song about that in a wee while. But I thought I would challenge myself again this morning, see if I can still remember all your names. And I think there might be one new wee boy here. And then we're going to do something different. So, first of all, it's me put on the spot, but then it's going to be you. So shall I start here? We've got Jennifer, and we've got Caroline, we've got Lewis, we've got, I know your name so well, and it's just gone. Harris, you're wearing the wrong jacket. You're not wearing your carrot-colored jacket. And Rowan, and Ewan, and Andrew, and Aaron, and I don't know your name. Can you tell me your name?
Lewis's cousin, Callan.
Callan. Alan and Aaron and Lewis's cousin. Isn't that lovely? And we've got Blair, and we've got Jack, who I always used to forget, didn't I? And we've got Ross. And we've got, oh dear, what's your name? Kyle. And we've got Katie, who's hiding over there. Hi, Katie. The girls are looking for you. Anyone else hiding that I can't see? Right, so we've said in the past that we're one big family here in church. So I wonder how many of the big people you know names of. So what I want you to do, in groups of two or three, take me to one of the big people and tell me their name. Okay, because I'm not quite so good at knowing the names of everybody in the pews as I am at knowing your names. So who's going to go first? Yes, right, Rowan. Who do you want to take with you to find a big person to tell the names? You're taking Aaron with you, okay? And do you want to take Callum too? Right, who are you going to introduce me to, Rowan? Come on then, take me up to them and tell me who it is. Granny and Grandpa. So can I call them Granny and Grandpa? Hello, Granny and Grandpa. I think they've got names as well. Shall we ask them what their names are? Although I know them. It's Margaret and Tom, isn't it? That was really good. That was lovely. Do you know anyone else that you want to introduce me to? No, I think we'd probably better keep it short because we've so many of you. Right, the next group of two or three, who are you going to introduce me to? Okay. Who do you want to introduce me to, Andrew? Whose names do you know in the from the people that are usually behind your head? Taking a lot of thought. Let's find your mum, shall we? Oh, look, we've got two for one here, haven't we? Not only have we got Gran and Grandad, who have we got here?
Mummy.
And Granny. Yeah. And I think I know their names too. It's Mum is Heather. And Granny is Jeanette. Oh, hey, I'm on a roll here. Anybody else that you want to introduce me to on the way back? Who would you like to go to? Over there. Right, you take me. Somebody over here. Who is it? Somebody that Andrew knows really well. I'm coming. Who's this?
Audrey.
Audrey, yeah. Oh, very good. Thank you very much, Andrew. That's super. Thank you very much. Right, who's the next two or three coming out? Oh, okay, Caroline. Caroline and Jennifer, who would you like to introduce me to? Who do you know the names of? Who are you going to show me? Oh, no, we're going somewhere else. Who do you want to take me to see? How about Mummy? Show me Mummy. Who's this person here? David, yeah. Oh, that's really good. Thank you. Oh, and who's this who takes you for a biscuit every morning? What's this lady's name? Margaret. Margaret. Oh, super. Well done. Okay, who hasn't been yet? Okay, come on. Who are you going to introduce me to? Harris and Lewis. Oh, right. Off. We're off for a walk. Who are we going to see? Who's this? Catherine. And who else do you know? Is there somebody else nearby that you could introduce me to? Who's this lady? Nancy. Oh, isn't that great? You're doing really well. Wonderful. Okay, good. Anybody else still to go? Ross and Kyle, are you going to come? Oh, are you coming as well, Jack? Yeah. Oh, Kyle's got to go out the other end. This is... Right, who are you going to introduce me to? A lot of whispering going on. I don't know where we're going. I've no idea. I can't guess. Okay, who's this? Your mum and dad. Yeah. Kyle and Ross's mum and dad. And what are their names?
Well, Laura and Graham.
Laura and Graham. That's great. Thank you. And you know them as well, Jack, do you? Anybody else round about here that you know that you could introduce me to? Jack to somebody. Oh, right. Who's this up the back? He thinks he's getting out of it because he's hiding at the back. Oh, what's this man's name?
Stuart.
Stuart Murphy. That's great. You all know each other's names really well, don't you? Wow. And that's great, because in a family, we should always know each other's names. Has everyone had a shot? Okay, that's great. Thank you so much. So it's so important. Oh, Katie never had a shot, did she? Did you want to introduce me to anybody? Who's this sitting beside you? Is it Granny? No, it's not Granny. Oh, well. No. I think it's a secret. Is it Isabel? No. She's not saying today. Another day she'll tell me. But isn't it amazing that, I mean, we all know a few people's names, but God says that every single person's name is engraved or written on his hands. So he must have huge, huge hands, mustn't he, to have everybody's names written on them, because everybody's so important to him. We'll have a word of prayer, and then we're going to sing a new little hymn. Loving, living God, we thank you so much for this wonderful church family where we all know one another. We know one another by name. And Lord, we thank you so much for all our young people who are such an important part of our church. And we say together the prayer in the name of Jesus that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the power and the glory forever. Amen. Good. Right. This is a song from an organization called Fishy Music, and I hope you're going to like it. We're going to listen to the music on a CD. We'll maybe just listen to the first wee bit and then go back to the beginning and sing along with it. Okay. See if you can catch on to the tune and all the words. It's about everybody. And laid on a bed of hay.
Grannies and granddads,
everybody.
Grandmas and grandpas,
everybody.
Nanas and papas,
everybody.
Everybody,
everybody.
Your name,
my name,
written on the palm of God's hand. Mothers and fathers,
everybody.
Stepmoms and stepdads,
everybody. Everybody.
Your name,
my name.
Written
on the palm of God's hand.
Written on the palm of God's hand.
Right, we're gonna start at the beginning again.
Grandmas and grandpas,
everybody.
Nanas and papas,
everybody.
mommies and daddies,
everybody,
mothers and fathers,
everybody,
stepmoms and stepdads,
everybody,
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 your name,
my name,
written,
written,
written on the palm of God's hand. Written on the palm of God's hand. Can you say your own name? Can you write your own name? Can you shout your own name? Can you whisper your name? Aunties and uncles,
everybody,
nephews and nieces,
everybody,
cousins and second cousins, twice your name. Everybody,
everybody,
your name,
my name,
written,
written,
written on the palm of God's hand, written on the palm of God's hand,
your name, my name,
written,
written,
written on the palm of God's hand, written on the palm of God's hand.
Well done, everybody. So you'll remember that, won't you? That everybody's name is written on God's hands. Okay, we're going to let you go off and have your lessons now. Invite Robert Allen to lead us in prayer.
Let us come before the Lord in prayer. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, in the calm and quietness of this place, we come searching for you, searching for your wisdom. For you know the way we should go, searching for your power, sufficient for all the circumstances of our lives, searching for your love, which never fails, however we may fail, searching for your forgiveness, for the ill we have done, for the good we have failed to do, for we know that in Christ you have forgiven us and made us clean. Searching for the inspiration of your Holy Spirit to help us do better. Searching for the answer to our needs, physical, emotional, spiritual. For we know that it is your will to meet our needs. So in trust we commit and recommit ourselves to you. We thank you for your goodness in creation, for your blessings in our lives. Above all, we thank you for Christ, your wisdom, your power, your love, your forgiveness, our light and our life, the answer to all our searching, the answer to all our need, the answer to all our desires. And so, Heavenly Father, in the calm and quietness of this place, with the whole church on earth and with the church in heaven, we worship you, our Creator, reverently and gladly, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Robert. And now Bill will read our Bible readings for us. The first one is from 1 Corinthians 13, the first 13 verses. And then our gospel reading is from Luke chapter 4.
Love is indispensable. If I speak in tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easy angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know it in part, and we prophesy in part. But what completeness comes, what is in part disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put away the ways of childhood. For now we see only a reflection, as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know him fully, even as I am known fully. And now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. He began by saying to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his lips. "Isn't this Joseph's son?" they asked. Jesus said to them, "Surely you will quote this proverb to me, 'Physician, heal yourself,' and you will tell me, 'Do you hear in your hometown what we have heard that you did in Capernaum?' But truly I tell you," he continued, "no prophet is accepted in his hometown. I assure you that there are many widows in Israel in Elijah's time, when the skies were shut for 3.5 years and there was a severe famine throughout the land. Yet Elijah was not sent to them, but to a widow of Zarephath in the region of Sidon. And there were many in Israel with leprosy in the time of Elisha the prophet, yet not one of them was cleansed, only Naaman the Syrian. All the people in the synagogue were furious when they heard this. They got up, drove him out of town, and took him to the bow of a hill on which the town was built, in order to throw him off. But he walked right through them, through the crowd, and went on his way."
Amen.
Amen. And may God add his blessings to these readings from his holy word. Thanks, Bill. Our hymn before the sermon is number 489, Come Down, O Love Divine, hymn 489. Let us pray. Lord, may the questions on our lips and the wonderings of our hearts lead us to a deeper trust in you, our maker, mender, and muse. Amen. The power of love. In the last week or so, several encounters have caused me to reflect on the power of God's love. Over a week ago, I was chatting to a minister's wife about the state of the Church of Scotland. She told me in no uncertain terms that, in her opinion, the problem lay with these people who never attend church, have no belief in God, and yet expect our hard-working ministers to take their funerals when they die. I was shocked, really shocked. And thankfully, the grace of God and the power of his love prevented me from speaking rudely. As gently as I could, I explained that I did not agree at all. She then admitted that neither did her husband. Well, that was a relief, because he was the one that was the minister. I tried to explain that we can never know what another person truly thinks or believes, and that I see my calling as taking every opportunity to tell anyone and everyone about God's powerful love. And then I came to the lectionary readings for this week, and our gospel reading made me think of that encounter, because I think that what angered the crowd about Jesus' words was that he was explaining that God's love, God's healing miracles, were not just for the Jews, not just for the in crowd. He selects two well-known examples of non-Jews being miraculously helped. The first, a widow in Zarephath in the region of Sidon, was helped by Elijah at a time of nationwide famine. She was the only one who's recorded as being helped. And the second example is at a time when many Israelites had leprosy. It was only Naaman the Syrian who was healed of leprosy by Elisha. So even before Jesus came to earth, God's powerful love was not restricted to one select group of people. The power of love cannot be contained by man-made boundaries. Another encounter was of a different kind. I was reading an article about Francis Chan. Now, he was the leader of a huge successful church in America, Cornerstone Church in California. This church had grown from 30 members to 6,000 in the 15 years since he planted it. But he said this: "One of the problems at our church is when I hear the words Francis Chan more than I hear the words Holy Spirit." Chan and his wife decided to leave that very successful church, and they went off and traveled round Asia, visiting the poorest of the poor in India and Thailand. From his experience there, when he returned to the US, he started a whole new church planting network where each church is made up of just 10 to 20 people. This, explains Chan, allows the members to truly know each other and carry each other's burdens. Now, I don't agree with everything that Francis Chan says and writes, but that really made me stop and wonder if we could somehow incorporate that concept into our church. If we could form small groups of 10 to 20 people who really took time to get to know one another. And I think in a lot of ways that already happens, because many of you already know each other really well. But I would hope that by being in a maybe slightly more formal small group, everyone would make an effort to include others in that group. And then we could see what God's powerful love will do. And then yesterday, there were many encounters as a group of us attended the Presbytery's first Resourcing Mission Conference. Now, it went on all day, so you'll be relieved to hear I'm not going to try and tell you everything we heard. But two possible opportunities sounded to me like something that we could do here in Forth, something we could get involved in. The first of these is spoken about in the latest WM magazine, and there are copies at the back of the church for everyone to take. They're free. At the back of this, it tells us that there are a number of Faith Share students studying in Edinburgh University. And there's 13 people from a variety of different countries, from Jamaica to Nigeria, to the Netherlands, to Taiwan. And they're staying here. They're funded by the Church of Scotland so that they can stay in Scotland and study. But obviously, most of university is just Monday to Friday. So we learned yesterday that the World Mission are trying to match up students with families in churches who could perhaps give them the occasional weekend with them in their own home. It would give these students another taste of Scotland, to live with a Scottish family just for a couple of nights and come to church with them. And I would hope that maybe someone in our congregation might be interested in doing that. And it could be not just that one family, that we could maybe all have a fellowship meal together and learn from these people. Because everyone that we heard from has benefited such a lot from interacting with people from different countries and different churches. So if you're in the least bit interested, pick up a copy of this from the top of the bookcase before you go home tonight and have a serious pray and think about doing that. The other one that jumped out to me is the Carluke listeners. And I was surprised to hear just this morning that one of our elders had never heard about them. It's amazing the things that are on our doorstep that we don't know about. Carluke listeners offer one-to-one confidential listening sessions. This is on their card. When we have concerns or worries, it is often helpful to speak to someone in person who will listen without judgment. Carluke listeners are available to listen to you in confidence, offering you respect, time, and space. Because one thing that is seriously lacking in our world today is individuals who have the time to listen, to really listen. And I would love to see Forth having even just one or two people trained as listeners. It's not counseling, it's simple listening. And there would be training available. So again, if anyone feels their heart stirred to want to do this, there is a taster session with the Carluke listeners on Saturday the 23rd of February. The phone number's on the back of this leaflet and on this card, or you can speak to me about that at the end of the service. And if you want to know more about the conference, because there was so much more there, then do please stay behind at the end of the service today, have a cuppa, and chat to any one of us. I was really chuffed, because Margaret Hunter, Karen Nicol, Agnes Gallagher, Bill Watson, Stephen and Jane Hunter, and myself were all there representing Forth St. Paul's. And I think apart from Curtin Church in Carluke, which is far bigger than us, we had more people from one congregation than anyone else in Presbytery. So thank you so much, every one of you. But let's remember that anything and everything we do must be guided by prayer and must be done in love. The reading that Bill read for us from 1 Corinthians 13 is one of the passages that I often use at weddings. And one of the things I like to suggest to the bride and groom is that they give their relationship a regular MOT by reading this passage, or at least verses 4 to 7, and inserting their own names in the place of the word love. To explain what this means, and using some of the names that I have been introduced by the children, Audrey is patient. Margaret is kind. Tom does not envy. David does not boast. Heather is not proud. And so on. Nancy does not dishonor others. Who else did we have? I'm trying to remember who we had. Oh, Laura is not self-seeking. Graham is not easily angered. quite a wake-up call. I've tried doing it sometimes and I fail at the first hurdle because I'm never very patient. But that's what I'm giving you all for homework this week. I'd love to see what would happen in this already wonderful church when we start taking love of God, love of neighbors, and love of ourselves more seriously. Because God's powerful love is capable of transforming the best and the worst of us into his image and likeness. So let's make 2019 the year that, with God's help, we get to know one another even better and bear with each other's burdens in love, so that we can both demonstrate and experience for ourselves the power of love. Amen. Continue our worship with the giving of our offerings. Let's pray. Gracious and loving God, receive our gifts of self and substance. They have belonged to you since our very beginning. We give them freely, joyfully, prayerfully. With them we praise you. With them we celebrate the great power that is love, a love that abides always. A love that radically transforms, a love that makes us whole. Amen. So let us sing another hymn about love, hymn 115, Love is the Touch of Intangible Joy.
Thank you.
just before we come to prayer, three extra intimations. The good one is that next Sunday we will be baptizing Jacob Drew Savage. So I think there might be quite a full church next Sunday. Before then, we have two sad occasions. On Thursday morning at 9:30 here in church, we will have the funeral of Margaret Lambie. And then on Friday at 11 o'clock, we will have the funeral of Betty Hepburn. Let's come before God in prayer. Lord, because love is patient, help us to be slow to judge, but quick to listen, hesitant to criticize, but eager to encourage, remembering your endless patience with us. Because love is kind, help our words to be gentle and our actions to be thoughtful. Remind us to smile and to say please and thank you, because those little things still mean so much. Because love does not envy or boast, and it is not proud, help us all to have a heart that is humble and sees the good in others. May we all celebrate and appreciate all that we have and all that we are, as well as doing the same for those around us. Because love is not rude or self-seeking, help us to speak words that are easy on the ear and on the heart. When we're tempted to get wrapped up in our own little world, remind us there's a great big world out there full of needs and hurts. Because love is not easily angered and keeps no record of wrongs, help us to forgive others as you have forgiven each one of us. When we want to hold on to a grudge, gently help us release it so that we can reach out with a hand of love instead. Because love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth, help us to stand up for what is right and good. May we defend the defenseless and help the helpless. Show us how we can make a difference, because love always protects and always trusts. Help us to be a refuge for those around us when the world outside is harsh and cold. May our hearts and our church be a place of acceptance and warmth. And now, in a time of silence, let us lift up to all those people and situations which we know of that are in need of the power of God's love today. And especially we pray for all the families and friends of Margaret Lambie and Mrs. Betty Hepburn. And finally, because love always perseveres, help our hearts to continually beat with love for you and for others. Thank you for showing us what the word love really means. Amen. Our final hymn is number 519, Love Divine, All Loves Excelling. And then we will again sing the Amen that you'll find at hymn 822. As we go out into the week ahead, may we all be so sure of the power of God's love. May we allow it to fill us all and to flow from us to others as we all get to know one another better and bear one another's burdens in love. And may the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be with us all today and forevermore.